720 on 760 WJR. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that a package of controversial judicial reforms would be delayed, a move that was welcomed by the United States and the UK. Israel's largest labor union called off a general strike following Netanyahu's announcement, but they warned it would take further action if the reforms were revived. On the line to talk more about what's going on over in Israel is Professor Yael Aronoff. She's Professor of Political Science, International Relations at James Madison College at MSU. Yael, thank you so much for being here this morning.
I'm glad to be here. Good morning.
You know, these protests, the Netanyahu's package, those reforms, it really triggered those protests over there, and then it didn't really help when he fired the defense minister because, you know, he wanted to pause those controversial plans. What's the latest over there?
Yeah, I mean, as you suggested in the beginning, there's been 3 months of protests with up to 600,000 Israelis protesting the legislation that would really weaken the High Court or Supreme Court of Israel and kind of eliminate its judicial review. And so the checks on the government by the High Court. So that would be the equivalent of more than 20 million Americans demonstrating. And people have been demonstrating, as I said, every single week, every single weekend for 3 months. And then on Monday, there were strikes by non-emergency hospitals, universities, schools, shopping malls, the labor unions, the military reservists weren't showing up for their assignments. The embassy in Washington, D.C. was closed with civil servants, Israeli civil servants on strike. So that pressure, immense domestic pressure, plus Biden's pressure as well, caused Netanyahu to put a pause on this legislation for another month when the Knesset will come back from recess. They'll review it at the end of the month, and they're starting kind of a dialogue or negotiations between the different political parties as to whether a compromise can be reached in terms of ideas for judicial reform. But a lot of demonstrations are continuing in Israel because there's a lot of skepticism that Netanyahu is just delaying this, but is not going to be able to or won't have kind of real compromise in the dialogue because he has some extremists in his cabinet, which are, opposed to any kind of significant compromise.
Yeah, this is Mark Hollis. First of all, go green.
Go green, go white. Yeah.
It's great to have you with us this morning. You mentioned that protests have been going on or initiated over 2 months, and yet just recently, both the protests and the news has really become more prevalent here in the United States. What's your thoughts or what's your process on how this is escalating? And when you try to put yourself in the minds of those that are protesting, what is motivating them to really intensify it at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, I know many people who are protesting. I also direct the Sorrell Institute for Jewish Studies and Modern Israel at MSU, and we just had a symposium this past Sunday with several prominent Israelis talking about what's going on. And a lot of people who are protesting, a lot of it are kind of mainstream secular society. They're also business entrepreneurs, academics, lawyers, doctors, teachers, but, a lot of just regular people. And I think that one of their concerns is that they're proud to live in a democracy and they really see these rapid pieces of legislation as undermining and weakening Israel's democracy and checks and balances by the High Court. And they have a real concern about that, that will diminish protection for individual rights, minority rights, women's rights, and many other such things. So there's a sincere concern for the country. And if you see the demonstrators have lots and lots and lots of Israeli flags, and they're ending each demonstration with their national anthem, Tikva. So they're doing this out of their, because of their love for Israel and caring for Israel, that they want to retain this democracy. You also have kind of the military involved and current generals, past generals, reservists. As you may know, most Israelis serve in the military, and they often serve in the reserves once a month every year until they're 40. So because so many people serve in it, they're concerned that they don't want to have a weakened democracy. They don't want to be serving a weakened democracy. And so they've been involved. So many sectors of the society who care deeply about it. There are also some wings of it that are opposed to Israel's occupation in the West Bank. And so they're concerned about that as well, that that a weakened democracy would have a harder time pursuing a two-state solution in which you'd have in the future a peace agreement that would allow Israel living alongside a Palestinian state. So there are many different sectors of society involved for different reasons, but the most of the people who are out there are just concerned about not weakening Israel's democracy, and they continue to demonstrate today.
Real quick, before we let you go, as you look at this in Israel, are there lessons or learnings that we should reflect on here in Michigan, here in the United States, from our observations of what's happening?
Absolutely. I think Israel is not entirely unique. Every country has its own circumstances, but we see challenges to democratic institutions and values, including critiques on the media, legitimacy of elections, and the high court, not only in across the world, but also in the United States. Of course, we've seen challenges to democratic institutions and values, whether it be challenges to the legitimacy of our last presidential election, whether it be the January 6th insurrection, all kinds of things which have challenged in the United States. We've seen kind of the vulnerability of democracy as well, even though we have such a strong democracy for so long. That we all have to be careful with our democratic institutions and values, and that speaks to us here in the United States as well.
Professor Eyal Oronoff, Professor of Political Science, International Relations at James Madison College at MSU. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning on the Paul W. Smith Show.
Thank you.
And coffee is one of the most consumed beverages worldwide, but the pendulum has swung back and forth about its benefits and drawbacks. Marie Osborne will have more on that coming up in the next 5 or so minutes, and we'll be back with more on the Paul W. Smith Show, 760 WJR.